ready?
Oh, not yet. We'll just wait a few minutes. Hi. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending this afternoon. This is our third day here in Fairbanks, and we've been hearing from quite a few people. We started on Tuesday at the university, and we had about 30 of the students speaking there, and then yesterday we had about 20 people speak here yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon, and then we had about 10 people speak this morning here, and so here we are this afternoon. This is the Alaska Native Review Commission, and we're here to listen to what you people have to say about the Claims Act, the land settlement, about the corporations, the question whether shares should be sold in 1991 or whether the sale of shares should be restricted, because of course if enough shares are sold in the corporations after 1991, then the land belonging to the Native people could be lost. Then there's the question of Native government. There's the question of the rights of the Native children born since 1971 to participate in the settlement. All of these things we've been hearing about, and others. People have talked about allotments, about their expectations from land claims. So if you'd like to participate, just come and sit down here and speak, and your words will be recorded and typed up.
Name Cheryl Henry, 574-147648. Meetings in the village, the majority of them think that they own their own. In 1991, if they ever sold their land, they'll be all white. Just like that parking lot down here. They sold it. They got $1 million out of it. And what are we supposed to do to our land? We have no choice but to hang on to what we have, because we're being overrun by the country. Could you answer that question, sir?
Well, I'm here to listen to you, and you said it very well. You said you believe that Native people have no choice but to hang on to what they've got. And I've written that down.
Is there anything you can do about that fish and wildlife?
No, not about the fish and wildlife.
Our heritage is here. We're all Indians. Eskimos, Aleuts, we are all here. We like to hang on to what we have. We like to hunt muskrats, beaver, caribou, moose, goats, everything. That is our subsistence. For goose and everything else. If our heritage is lost, we're all lost. We do not want to be like the Arizona Indians and to be in Trail of Tears. This is our life. If you turn around right behind you, you'll see that quail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tinnery.
My name is Carol Lee Goh, and I am a member of the Doyon Corporation, and I'm also a member of the Minchumina Natives Incorporated. When ANSCA was passed, the villages, any area where there were concentration of 25 village or natives or more would incorporate into a village, and they also have a clause in ANSCA about the native groups, and this is what I would like to speak about. There are seven of us natives out at Minchumina, and because we are small in number, the villages were taken care of first as far as certification. The villages were certified, or they started working with the villages first. And after they got most of the villages certified, then they started working with the groups. And it was last year that they started working with us after 12 years of not knowing whether we would certify as a group or not. For 12 years, it was a question whether our group would even be certified, as it was in the beginning, without the amendment that was made so that we could qualify. There were very strict regulations as to groups, but an amendment was made so that we could qualify as a group. But like I was saying, it took about 12 years for this to happen. We were certified about a year ago. And this has, now that we're certified and are eligible to get land, we have come across a lot more problems. For one thing, there were some funds that were made available to all the villages through this ANSCA Act. And because we were not certified as a group, we were treated as at-large shareholders. So the funds that were sent to the villages, to their corporations as a whole, went, instead of ours going to a group, it went to us individually. And now that we are a group, you know, without having that nest egg, I guess you'd call it, to work with, we were, you know, we're at the point where we can receive our lands, but now we need some funding so we can develop and so forth. Now, there were some grants that were made available that we could apply for, and so since we were recognized as a certified group, we made application for these grants, and we got all of our paperwork and everything in October, and we were working with some of the BIA people from Juneau, and they told us, well, we're hoping we can get this all through and you can get your money in a month. Well, here it is April and we haven't received anything yet. And so I talked to the people in Juneau yesterday about it, and they says, well, what had happened is that this money, these funds for these grants were appropriated for last year, and they've been appropriated, but for some reason they weren't appropriated this year. And because they didn't get all the paperwork or all the, oh, I guess the red tape or whatever you call it, in for the grant before the funds that were appropriated in 83 since those funds weren't used up, they were turned back to Washington, and so they would have to be reappropriated for this next year. And in their reappropriations, they don't have the funds. But the BIA people in Juneau assured us that because it was a part of ANILCA, then it will have to come to pass. But they said, we don't know just exactly when it's going to be. So it's a little bit frustrating on our part, because now we are eligible to go for our lands, but we have no means for which to get them. And we know that eventually we will get it, but this is just time that has to abide. Another problem that we've had out at Minchumina is when Alaska became a state, the state was given the right to select lands around the lake, well, throughout Alaska. And since the lake is a very ideal location, very beautiful and in the interior, and the state came in and selected all of the prime lands around the lake. So when we were to make our native selections, the prime land had already been selected by the state, and it left some federal lands which were available, which were 3 miles from where we live, across the hill and so forth. And so when we made our selections, the people that worked with us said, go ahead, because these are tentatively approved state lands. You can go ahead and make the selection on these, and then we'll work it out when you do get certified as a group. So we did. We did make our selections. And I know that I've been following through with, or following up on a lot of the villages. I know that many of the villages that had selected tentatively approved state land were able to get it. So we are going to see what we can do about getting some of these state lands. But again, you know, when you don't have any funds to work with, it makes it pretty difficult. And as it looks, the grant which we'll be getting, or we have applied for, is about for $57,000, but we will probably end up having to use most of that money in legal fees and land consultant fees, just so that we can try to get some of this land that we should have had in the first place without having to go through these. It seems like this grant you're just taking from one pocket and putting into the next. Another thing that I am concerned about, or that concerns me, if you'll read in the ANILCA Act, there's not very much written about groups, and there aren't a whole lot of groups. Most of the natives have gone into village corporations, and so there isn't very much about groups, and it has caused a little bit of frustration. For one thing, in the ANILCA Act, it says that in a group, when it comes to the land selection, each member will receive 320 acres per individual. But in the ANILCA Act, in section 14-H and the second paragraph, it says that the groups would receive a maximum of 23,000 acres. But in the interpretation and in the ANILCA process, I don't know how, for some reason, it came out to be 320 acres per individual. So we are going to see what we can do about, or we want to see if we can do something about that, see what can be taken place there. Because really, when you look at it, in a village, if a village has from 25 to 99 individuals, they're eligible for 69,000 acres. Well, in a group, is anybody less than 25 natives? But say, if an area only had 24 natives, this is just hypothetical, but if they had 24 natives and you got this 320 acres per individual, this would mean 7,680 acres versus 69,000 if they had one more person and would qualify as a village. So I think there's a real discrepancy in this area when it comes to native groups, because as it is with 7 people in our group, we would be entitled to just a little over 2,000 acres, which when you look at the whole picture is not a whole lot of land in comparison to what many of the villages are qualifying for. And also, in this process, you know, we did select these lands, the state selected lands, and in Minchumina has been one of the areas where a lot of people have wanted to get land. And so with the state land lotteries that have been held, they have had the state has had two land sales out at Minchumina. The first involved between 40 and 55 acre parcels, and the second one was between 40 and 50 also, 5 acre parcels around that vicinity. And then they had a third remote parcel sale, which was you could claim up to 40 acres, and they selected 10 people that could do that. But with the first land sale, the land that they had there was on our over-selection. And the second one they had proposed was right on our section, one of our first selections. And we did some letter writing, and they did change it. That was changed to a section that we hadn't selected on. But when they did the remote parcel sale, which was last summer, it was on an area that we had selected as part of our land selection. And we did some letter writing. In the meantime, the area was changed from Fairbanks to Anchorage. You know, they had switched to whoever had jurisdiction over selling the land. And so we started doing some letter writing and letting them know, you know, hey, this remote parcel area that you have selected is on our selected lands. And we received notification that we had not been certified as a group. So as far as they were concerned, we didn't exist. And so that was our first response. And so we talked to some people at Tanna Chiefs and at Doyon, and did some writing to our congressman and so forth. So when the brochure came out, there was a little statement, and you can see it now in this selection from Minchumina, that this land has been selected by the Minchumina Native group, and there is a possibility that if they do qualify, and then it says which BLM does not feel they do, there's a possibility that you could lose your land. You know, this was the note to the people who were in this remote parcel, but it gave the implication like, well, don't worry, they're not going to get it anyway. And so these are some of the things that we have been up against. And I suppose because of all these land sales, and there's been other people that have had, there's another individual who had a homestead and subdivided, so there's been a lot of land sold around Minchumina within the last 6 or 7 years. It's not the same type of community that I grew up in. And because there has been a lot of lots sold, you know, it puts a real strain on the subsistence type lifestyle that my brothers and their family live out in Minchumina. It puts a real strain on their subsistence type of lifestyle, because when you stop and think about it, with the two land sales and the lottery, that has brought in over 100 landowners. Of course, not very many of them have come out and built or done anything, because there is no economy at Minchumina. Most of the people that live there are trappers or retired type people. So there really isn't any economy for them. A lot of people, I think, have the idea of building themselves a cabin on the lake or whatever. But anyway, there is the possibility that these people could come out, and if there was some type of an economy developed, we could have a very large community because of the land that has been sold there. And like I say, I know that the people that are out there now are against any more development or any more land sales, and they've voiced it. And I don't know if this will do any good or not, because when you stop and think about it, they are a minority now, because there are over 100 other landowners that are from outside of that particular little community. So I think Also, these land sales have had a big impact on a lot of the areas. And another problem that we have come up against is because we have had all this land sold, there have been a lot of people that have moved out to Minchumina within the last 10 years. A lot of people that weren't there before, or, you know, and when they heard that the Minchumina natives had incorporated and that we had applied for these lands and then we did get our certification, there were a lot of feathers that were ruffled. They just didn't see why we should have any more title to land than they should, because they don't, they says, well, we don't consider you to be natives. I don't know what they consider a native, but just because we have gone out and got college educations, we're not considered natives. And so I don't know what the problem is, but we got our certification a year ago, and just recently the Homeowners Association has tried to appeal our certification with various, they've kind of taken a fine-tooth comb and gone over our certification papers and tried to pick out little things that they felt shouldn't have been in there. So it's been a stressful situation because of these individuals that don't want to see us getting land or don't want to see any type of a ruling body. I think the thing that has them really scared is a few of the people have grasped bits and pieces of information about different types of native governments, and they're afraid of some type of a native government having some type of sovereignty over them. They have just taken bits and pieces here, put it together, and say, when they hear about native sovereignty, they say, well, we don't want that at Minchumina. Absolutely not, because they do not consider Minchumina to be any type of a native community. And these are people that have all, most of them have moved there within the last period of time. And so it does bring for a stressful type of situation. We try to be peaceful about this, and we try not to ruffle anybody's feathers, but it's pretty difficult sometimes when you're on the when you are the minority in more terms than one. I really feel positive that we will get our land. I don't know when, and sometimes I wonder if it'll be my generation or the next generation to come that will feel any of the benefits of ANSCA, because with the villages, there were timelines set. The villages in the ANSCA Act had lots of specifications for the villages and for the village corporations, but there are only about, I think, two paragraphs in the whole act that have to do with groups. And so this is where we are coming up with a lot of problems, because the answers have to be found, and it's up to the group members to get in and do some hustling so we can get some answers to these questions. And we have been able to receive some help and assistance from Tanna chiefs. They've been very good about listening to us, and matter of fact, we have a meeting with them this next week, and we're going to try and see what we can do about coming up with some resolutions, so that we have some resolutions we want to present and see what we can do and where we can go, so that we can indeed feel the benefits of this ANSCA Act. Now, aside from the problems that we do have as a group, there are other things that I am concerned with. And for example, the thing that really concerns me directly are the afterborns. For main reason is I have five of them. My oldest son was born 2 weeks after the December 18th deadline. But I can see how it could create problems, because my brother, for example, has a daughter that was born 8 months before my son. She is an enrolled member of the Minchumina Native Group. And then he has another daughter that was born 2 years later, 3 years later, and so she doesn't. So within the family, it creates It creates very, you know, marked dividing lines. And if you start looking, talking about things in the future, if you look, and if as we die and pass on our inheritance to our children, if you take a look and if everything is divided equally, for example, in their situation, my brother's situation, where he and his wife and their oldest daughter are all shareholders, or are all members of our native corporation out at Minchumina, and their daughter isn't, when the parents would pass away, then...
That's the second daughter.
Yeah, the second, yeah. For example, when my brother and his wife, after, you know, if they will their shares to, or the interest in our lands and in our corporation to their children, one daughter will have two shares.
They will it equally.
Right, if they will it equally, one daughter will have two shares, and the other one will have one. And then you take a look just at cousins. For example, there's only me that's a member, and I've got five children, and each one of them would get a fifth of a share or an interest in the land. Yet they're all cousins, and they're all to the same degree of native blood in them. And so this is where I feel that something needs to be done or compensated for those children that were born after the 1971 cutoff date. And this is one of the real concerns that I have, and I think that needs to be looked into and taken care of.
You said there were seven people in the group to start with. If you included the afterborns, how many people are in the group today?
Oh, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more. So.
The afterborns already
right,
outnumber the.
Right. Right. We have seven members in our group, and the afterborns would equal 11. And there's a couple more on the way, so you know it's going to. They're going to more than double probably within our own generation. With because in our group, it's kind of a unique group too, because six of us are all from the same family, and we do have one that's not within our family. So it makes it a little more of an awkward situation, I think, when you're all from the same family, and then when you start thinking about the afterborns and the effects. You know, when it's a little bit more complicated. I think I've covered just about all the points.
Well, thank you very much. That was very, very interesting. We heard this morning about the groups from Mr. Tobach, I think.
Oh, yes.
So, and this, I should say, is the first meeting anywhere in the state that the matter of the groups has come up, so I'm very grateful to you for bringing it up.
Yes, we've been working with Mr. Tobach too, several times.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Well, does anyone else wish to make a presentation now? We'll take an early coffee break if we have to. Oh, yes, we have some.
My name is Robert Charlie, and I'm from Minto. I just want to give stand for its rights back in those times. Our grandfathers, before the 1915 meeting here in Fairbanks with Judge Wickersham, was always concerned about the land ever since the people from outside start coming in for gold mining and other search for wealth. And during my time, and it's brought up many times at our meetings in our own village, that they were concerned about what can they do for their lands. It's sort of an education to me because I was aware and I was concerned as same as they were. And I was real happy to get a chance to sit in on a first meeting that most of the villages had in the interior in 1962 in Tanana. At that meeting, we pointed out the concern for the wide areas that our grandfathers used for hunting and fishing and subsistence survival. We went into wide discussion on those areas. For some reason or another, our forefathers were kind of looking in the future and looking to what they might expect in the future and long-time goals. I think that's what their interest was in the land situation at that time. Anyway, during the meeting in Tanana, we outlined the areas that was badly needed in our communities, in the villages, with the housing, water and sewer, clinics, community halls, law enforcement, and some ways to get our village in a better position to live in. And those problems that we identified back in 62, 20 years later, has finally came into reality because a lot of villages has those services because of the grants we get from the state and from the federal through BIA. Then ANSCA came. Although there was just a handful of people participating in developing the ANSCA issue, I was sorry I didn't participate fully because I was engaged in my own living and trying to work for a living at one of the federal military base here in town. And as I look at ANSCA today, it created some good and some bad. I think the most important problem, which was never addressed in the first place, All along through my life, I've seen the changes in the big changes from generation to generation. The only problem that would solve our problem today is if we had the opportunity for education from beginning when I was just a school kid. If I had my life to live over, the first thing I'd do is try to get my education and degrees. We are faced today through ANSCA without no sort of training and not knowing what we were getting into, and it's beginning to show up today because I know and I work for our village corporation. The problems that were supposed to be identified were not identified until somebody like me had to go through it. The number one issue that was supposed to be included in the ANSCA bill was for the training to take up this very important task that we are faced with today. Was funds from the federal government to get our people trained to let them start on their own and work for their future. We did get very little land, not very much, but we have that land to control and to manage. In ANSCA, there's a provision, what is called the 14C reconveyance. That was included because for one purpose. The only purpose that we're all going to face one day is that each of our villages are going to be recognized as a city by the state of Alaska. I do not anticipate that the IRA or the traditional council will be in existence for not very long. The reason is that the federal government has neglected to take care of its people in Alaska, which is the native people, help them to build themselves up, to govern their own selves, and to teach them the way to what they should have learned before ANSCA. Because of the funds that's cut back in the federal government side, we will be unable to be protected by them. So the 14C stuff was included so we can gain and work our own way through what we can work of ANSCA, building our community to govern its own self by taxes and whatever we can get. If we can go back to Congress and try to clarify that part, that we are knowledgeable about controlling our own village without the ANSCA provision of the 14C, I think we'll do a better job.
You think that you shouldn't be obliged to convey the 1,200 acres to the municipal government chartered by the state?
I don't think so. I think my way of thinking is ANSCO was put in our hands to have us control of our lands and to work it whatever we would think would be good for the future. Although it isn't very much land, but they gave that to us with their way of thinking of subsistence purpose. That was what the ANSCA was all about. When we're talking about lands that our old people use, we're talking about wide areas. We had couple resolutions to Congress back in the 50s where we made a claim for over 2 million acres of land that we use, that we draw out on the map, that we use every bit of those lands for our subsistence purpose. Instead, they gave us 100,000 acres, and that's not very much for the way we look at land. I'm saying that if there is going to be an amendment in ANSCA, I would try very hard to get some funds to still train our people, because we have a long ways to go. But it's been 12 years into ANSCA, and we're just beginning to realize what we're faced with. And it'll take us another 20 years before we can establish ourselves to be a corporate entity with good management. In order to do that, we'll need to train our young people to help them, to help us, so they'll meet this different and challenging future. If you ask me right now if we'll make it in 1991, I doubt it very much if we'll make it in 1991. We'll have to need to go back and ask for extended time. And I think we may have to, at the rate we're going. This is all I have to say, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Charlie. Thank you. I should say, Mr. Charlie, that yesterday Frank Borecki, who is with Tanana Chiefs, and Mike Wallery both discussed Section 14C. They have the same concern as you do. So altogether, I think we had a good explanation of the difficulties that 14C presents. Yes, sir.
I'm 100% for what Mr. Charlie was saying all through this testimony he made just now. It's true that our young people doesn't know. My name Judith Allen, NOTAC Kotzebue, U of A here in Fairbanks. I testified this morning, but I just looked at this like a questionnaire form that the Alaska Native Review Commission had put up. And I looked at it just this afternoon, and I wondered if I put out all what I wanted to say this morning, so I'll give you answers for them under the questions. What effect has ANSCA had on you, your family, your town, or village? How should Native lands be held? By the corporations, by village councils or IRA councils, by individuals or others? I couldn't say for sure who should run it, but I strongly feel for the IRA government to have power, because the time the Organic Act was made, 1884, I believe the natives were given the sovereign rights, the natives that own lands, to have sovereign rights, and the IRA council has something to do with that, the tribal people. I believe they should have some power. And I couldn't say for sure for the corporations. They do many wonderful things for us, but the times they should explain more to their people, to their stockholders. Let the people understand first what this is all about, the ANSCA, and what we're gonna face, the young people, the land, the funds. They should make the people understand. How does your town or village want to use its land? For subsistence, for development and profit-making, or others? My answer for that would be, first of all, we all love to do our subsistence hunting and fishing. I don't know about the development and profit-making. Sure, there's some industry going on, big mining camps, and like in Red Dog, they say one of the biggest in the world, that's going to happen pretty soon if it goes through. And this, North Prudhoe Bay oil. Right now, we're finding out what's happening when these industries come up. People want money so bad, they can do anything to get money. And the land that we use, we'd like to have all the rights to use them, but then they're already petitioned. The U.S. government put out some lands, they claim some lands in which the people themselves, the villagers, mainly use that area for hunting, but they put it out as the National Park Services. They claim the land themselves. And when we ask a question in the meetings, can we hunt in that park area? They says yes, but we know, myself for fact, that later on they will put out rules, long list of rules saying that we cannot hunt there. It's a government land, government property. They will say that because they've done it before. That's just the only thing I have feeling on is the use of the land for our hunting rights. I feel strongly about having to not to go get certificate to go hunting in that area where our grandfathers hunted before. It's a good land where the games go. But I know later on the government will tell us you can't hunt there anymore because it belongs to the government. What kind of government does or would you do the best job in your town or village? City government, traditional council, IRA council, or some combination? I already stated that I feel strong about the IRA council. They need they need some power. The government should give them some power to take care of their people in each areas, in the villages especially. Is your town or village interested in doing business? What have been the successes and problems of your village corporation? I think I said that the village, well, the village corporation I belong to is, I think they're doing okay. They try their best to take care of us. And they've helped people locally. And when I think of village corporations, the land comes in my mind. Right now, the land is an important issue for everyone. Does the village or regional corporation have obligation besides making profits for shareholders? See, like I stated this morning, we're not really familiar with the rules and regulations of these corporations. A lot of us do, the young people. And I couldn't answer that. Okay, what does it mean to you to be a native? I can answer that. It means to be a real native, a good citizen for the United States. And I feel strongly towards the IRA tribal programs that they should give them some power to take care of their people. I mentioned that already. Should the native cultural heritage be preserved? Very much, I think so, because a lot of our younger people lost their, especially their cultural ways of living. They wouldn't know how to go out hunting, and the survival part of it, that's one of the reasons why when the snow machines came around our villages and towns, we lost quite a few young people because they didn't know how to survive out there. And not only just the language, and how it said at home in Kotzebue area, we're using the elders, and that's real good. It's a good resource. The government should maybe give out some kind of a recognition for the elders through some agencies to give them power so that the young people can get motivated into learning the cultural heritage. And I think it's a workable thing to do. Young people are getting a little bit motivated, but then the elders have to be there to teach them, and they're the most important ones we have now at home. Without them, then there's not much chance. They're dying off so fast. We need to recognize the elders. Should shareholders in native corporations keep the option to sell their shares after 1991? I definitely oppose that, even this morning. You know, the young people that we have right now seems like they lost some of their identity. Because during their people younger than I am, during the times they were attending schools, they were being taught the Western world. And somehow, I feel they lost their identity. And along the way, some transitions came through, some changes on school systems. And it changes all the time. And so the younger people that attended school or college are just walking around the streets doing nothing. And some of them doesn't know what to do with their lives. And I oppose that because they were introduced to the Western world, and alcoholic is introduced, and they extensively use it. I know for a fact that if they're offered money, they will sell their land that they inherited. This is all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Allen.
Would anybody else like to say anything at this time?
Yeah, I'm a few things talking about.
Mr. Luke?
She's talking about the culture, you know, and all this here. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching people now. I'm over at the Cal University, and I'm teaching them, and they're picking up. They're picking up fast now. I even teach them my language too. Now they can almost. There's one that can talk almost my language now. We're working on a map over there, and we're naming them all. You know, every one of them hills and them lakes it's got a meaning, and that's what I'm doing. I make Dead Falls. I make Springset. And how to survive, and all that stuff. Everything, you name it. And I made a place, I got a place of plywood, and I make them. I make them because it's kind of hard to explain, you know. So I make them, and I show them how it's done. And I think it should be more of it. Like we sat down, we had potlatch not long ago. I spoke about that. I said, there should be more of it. Because I'm working with the Elliots, And then I'm working with the kids too, and some of them kids, they come up with some good questions. And what I've learned that from the old people, and I want this thing to go on and on. Because I build sleds, I can practically do anything. And I want some of the people to do this. I know village there. I know all over the village. They're buying sleds from the States. Does that make any sense? Where there's birds standing right there? They got the steam and all that. All the sled I make, I never steam none of them. There is a way, you just got to get a certain kind of birch and how you test them to bend them. I don't know, I talk to the old people and I tell them, what's the matter with these? Ain't you talking to your kids or anything? They say, we got no time. And that's what I'm against. And just like this one the other day over at the university over there, after we had our students, they come over to me every night and ask me, what should I do, Howard? Should I get through with my college, or should I do what you're doing? Well, I say, if I were you, I'd get through with my college, because job's going to be hard to get later on. You've got to know all them things. And like I'm talking to you now, I want you to remember that. You should have a recorder and remember those, because I showed them how to survive. And I even showed them whether it's a fat moose or poor moose. Nobody don't know that, I bet. Nobody don't know that, I bet you. And I can tell you if that moose gonna lay down, I can tell you that too. And hardly anybody in this room knows that. And that when he's laying down, that's when you got to be more careful. That's why I say, I'm going to go on and work with elders, and I'm going to work with kids. I'm going to keep going. Cause this summer, I'm going to have a camp down my place. I'm going to have three kids. They're 18 years old. Then I'm going to train them, show them how to cut the right kind of birch. She brought up a good point, because you see, later on, they're going to lose our culture. They're going to lose it, and then we'll be just like this here. We can't pick berries, that's